Global stocks fall. China says it's down to a lack of confidence in U.S. policy and tired of your commute.
Today, you know, you have to squeeze out most productivity out of every minute of the day. And you also want to spend as much time with your family. Helicopters have become very accessible now.
Yep, he said helicopters. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. China's blaming President Trump's protectionism for a sell-off in global markets. After yesterday's tariffs on Chinese goods, China's responded with plans to slap additional duties on U.S. goods, things like fresh fruit, wine, nuts. And all of that has spooked investors. Linda Yu, fellow in economics at Oxford University and author of The Great Economists, agrees with the White House on at least one thing, that China is not a level playing field.
I think to a large extent, China's markets are not as open as the United States. And so foreign businesses have felt for some time that they're not gaining the same kind of access that Chinese businesses gain to the American market or to the European market. Trump's particular dissatisfaction is over what he calls IP theft. Intellectual property rights is underprotected in China, and that's been another source of complaint by American businesses as well as foreign businesses. China used to require joint ventures for any foreign company setting up in its country, that they had to transfer technology at lower than market prices. That largely changed after China joined the World Trade Organization in 2001. It had to sign up to the global IPR regime. Most of the issues now are around opening up China's markets. Having a more level playing field would probably require negotiating with China for greater reciprocity, which is something that President Trump also mentioned. But the way to get there is probably not via the route of tariffs, but actually resuming the very high-level economic dialogue the U.S. and China have had for years.
So what happens now? Is there a role, say, for the WTO?
So the WTO does have a role to play. But remember, President Trump in his press conference also said the WTO just hasn't been effective in making China act more fairly when it comes to intellectual property rights. And previously, he's also threatened to pull the United States out of the WTO. The WTO only works if sovereign nations agree to be bound by its rules. To resolve this particular conflict, China has already done a tit for tat. It's announced a number of taxes and tariffs that it's going to impose on American imports into China. And retaliation could lead to a trade war. It could lead the United States to pull back. My assessment would be that this will only be resolved by the United States and by China.
Linda Yu, let's do the numbers. It's a sea of red in global markets. European stocks are lower after Hong Kong's Hang Seng dropped 773 points, or 2.49%. Japan's Nikkei tumbled 974 points, or 4.51%. The EU also demanding a permanent exemption this morning from U.S. steel tariffs. As they ditch stocks, investors are flocking to the safety of government debt and gold. The precious metal is up 0.95%. Now, do you commute? I do, every day, 3 hours total. Could we learn from commuters in Sao Paulo, Brazil? How do its 12 million inhabitants manage? The BBC's Katie Watson reports.
Every day at 6 o'clock, Jacqueline Jesus leaves her house north of Sao Paulo. And every day she takes a bus, then the metro, and then another bus to get to the dress shop where she works in the south of the city. At the end of the day, it's back again. And repeat.
This is my journey every day. I take between 4 and up to 6 hours travelling, depending on the traffic. I've been doing this for 4 years. It's very normal. People joke that the thing that tires out people the most is the commuting, not the actual job.
For those with a bit more money, taxis can take out the stress, even if they don't cut down the commute time. Unless, of course, you pick Sao Paulo's newest cab service, called Voom. Click to make a booking, and then head to the nearest helipad. Richard Cameron is a client.
Today, you know, you have to squeeze out most productivity out of every minute of the day, and you also want to spend as much time with your family. So, if you're, for example, if you're coming back from a trip, you know, it might take you more time in the car from the airport to your house than the actual flight. And helicopters have become very accessible now. They used to be very expensive.
I've come to one of Sao Paulo's heliports. There are an estimated 1,300 takeoffs.
every day here in Sao Paulo. About 400 helicopters, 200 helipads, so it's a really healthy industry, but it has fallen in recent years with the economic crisis. People have less money to spend and the helicopter demand has fallen.
Which made Uma Subramanian, the CEO of Voom, think there could be a business in this.
Over the last kind of 5 years, the helicopter industry, which bet quite heavily on oil and gas, has gone through a period of turmoil. And so what we're trying to do with Voom is not only create a service that is affordable and accessible to passengers, but also get aircraft back in the sky.
For just over $100, you can fly to the international airport in 15 minutes. A journey in a traditional taxi can cost around half that, but takes as much as 3 hours. Trust me, I've been there far more times than I care to remember.
Katie Watson reporting there. And just time enough to tell you that the Reuters news agency is reporting that the U.S. has now formally launched a World Trade Organization complaint over China's, quote, discriminatory technology licensing requirements. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.